All right, and next Sunday, we have a special presentation with the children and the youth, and they've been working on this for a number of weeks, and so look forward to next Sunday as well. Well, our series that we're talking about is Fear Not. Three times in the Christmas story, angels appeared, and first to Mary and told her not to fear, because she was going to have a baby and not be married. Today we're going to talk about Joseph. The angel came and said, don't fear, because he was marrying a woman who was going to have a baby. And next week, well, not next week, it's actually the week after, because next week is the children's. But our final message will be on the angels coming to the shepherds and telling them to fear not. So the title of our message this morning is Fear Not, What People Think of You. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet as you came in and can take these thoughts home with you today. Fear not what people think of you. Do you fear what people think of you? Well, I would propose this to you. If you looked in the mirror this morning before you came, then you probably are wondering what people are going to think about you. It's normal. We're going to wonder what people think about us. Do they like my hair? Do they like the clothes I wear? Will I fit in? What do they think about the car I drive? Or even how you act. Do they think I'm too funny? If they think I'm too quiet? Do they think I'm too loud? I wonder what people think about my Facebook or Instagram posts. We do have in our mind what other people think about us. Well, Joseph found himself in a one-of-a-kind situation. And one-of-a-kind situation. No one quite found themselves in a situation that Joseph found himself. It says in Matthew 1 and 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I say it's unique because there have been situations, I'm sure, when someone was betrothed to someone and found out that they were pregnant. But I don't think anyone ever gave the excuse, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit that caused this. And so Joseph finds himself in this situation. Interesting, this word espoused. Many times we think, and we use the term, that Mary was engaged to Joseph. But espousal is more than engagement. It really isn't equivalent to what we have today as far as engagement. It wasn't a complete marriage either. It was something in between. As I looked it up, this is what it said, and just for our information in this, an espousalship, there is a ceremony in which vows are exchanged. A contract is signed, witnesses present, and a purchasing of the bride with some sort of token is given. In the espousal relationship, the bride is waiting after the ceremony of espousal. Then the bride is waiting for the bridegroom to come to the house of the bride, carrying her away to culminate the marriage. The espousalship is a binding relationship that can only be broken with a bill of divorcement. So as you can see, this is much stronger than what we have today, sort of a verbal agreement that, we're engaged. To break an engagement today, it's not good, but it's certainly not on the level of breaking an espousal. And so this is the situation that Joseph found himself in. He was espoused to Mary. This length of time of espousal, when I was reading about it, is anywhere from a month to 3 months. It happens in this period of time. when actually the bride is taken by the bridegroom to the new home and the marriage is complete. So you can imagine in this time, the scripture says that during this time she was espoused to Joseph and she was found with child and it was of the Holy Spirit. Now, would you like to have sat in on that conversation between Mary and Joseph? Would you have put yourself in Joseph's shoes? He finds out that she's pregnant. That has to be a shock. And then she says, but Joseph, I didn't have sex with anyone. And this again knocks him for a loop. And then she says, and the pregnancy is through the Holy Spirit. Now, all of this is turning in Joseph's head. And it brought Joseph to a dilemma. Joseph had a dilemma. Here's the first option. If Mary believes her story, then she's crazy. The second option is, if Mary doesn't believe this story, then she's a liar. She's covering up. None of these options look too promising to Joseph. And so as he's thinking about all the factors, the first factor would be he doesn't want to be married to someone who is either crazy or a liar. This is not what he wants to be married to. And the second factor is, what are people going to think and say about this? They're walking down the street together. They see people on the side of the road sort of pointing. That's Mary. You know she fooled around on Joseph before they were married. I wonder who it was with. Where would that have happened? When would that have occurred? And they're whispering and they're talking about it. And then they look at Joseph. Look at Joseph. What a sap. What a weakling. What kind of man is he to tolerate that? All of these things have to be going through his mind. And then to top it all off, did you hear her story? She said the Holy Spirit did it. And the laughter and the ridicule and the mocking that would have been around this whole thing. And Joseph is pondering all these things, what he should do. Now there's a portion of scripture, the next verse, Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph was a good man. Joseph was a just man. In light of all of this, even after he feels like he's been betrayed, he's going to be, regardless, he's going to be ridiculed to some degree. But his feeling is, you know what? I don't want to expose her to the shame and the publicity that's going to come around this. So I'll just secretly put her aside. So the solution that Joseph came up with, and I would add this, Satan's solution was to break the espousal and put her away quietly. Joseph had fear in all of this. But in the midst of this fear, on so many different fronts, God sees Joseph's fear and sends an angel to him. Now let me just add right here, you know, in the course of our life, we're going to face situations where we have dilemmas. And we turn things over in our mind and there's no good solution. And we try to come up with something, but there's fear that comes over us, fear of so many ways. But the ones we're focusing on this morning is the fear of what other people will think. What will other people say? What will be the conversation that's happening behind the scenes? We're so aware of this in so many ways, as I mentioned, even just looking in the mirror before we go out the door. There is something that's even deeper, though, when it goes to the area of what we're doing and our whole nature of our life. And so fear is going to come up. But God sends an angel to Joseph. And I believe whenever fear comes into your heart and mind and you're trying your best to do the will of God, you want to be a just person. You want to be a good person. You want to be a Christian. You want to do what's right. There's still going to be situations where no option seems to be good, and you're going to be fearful. But I want you to know, at that time, God will send an angel to you. It may not be a divine angel. It's just a messenger, and that's what the word angel means, a messenger. God sends someone to you. You talk with someone, and they give you good advice, and they take away your fear. And so an angel comes to Joseph, and we find in Matthew 1:20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, don't be fearful, to take Mary for your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" God is faithful to Mary, he's faithful to Joseph, and he sends an angel that confirms Mary's story as strange and weird and that you could imagine, but he says, she is with child. It is of the Holy Spirit. And there's something very significant about this child. He is going to be the Son of God, and he's going to save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. The greatest fear that Joseph had was at the very entrance of God bringing Christ to the world. Can you imagine how Satan works to bring fear on us, to undo what God's plans are? And a lot of it is, what will other people think if I do what I think God wants me to do in this situation? And this story is very pertinent to us today, much more than what we can imagine. But in face of this, we must have the courage to do what is right and face the negative reactions and words of others. We have to choose what's right. So we have this choice. Do I do what God wants, or do I find an easy way? Do I adjust what God says just enough so I sort of say I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I'm avoiding now the negative consequences and the reactions of other people that come to me? When I was thinking about this, I really had a new appreciation for Joseph. And Mary was chosen to bear the Christ. And we know that. And that we've celebrated that. But I want you to realize, not only was Mary chosen to bear Christ, but Joseph was chosen to be an example of Christ. Joseph was part of this package. It wasn't just Mary and now Joseph as an add-on. When you read this story, you realize how essential Joseph is to this story. And that God not only chose Mary, but he chose Mary when she was a spouse to a man. And this man was Joseph. In the equation, we have to understand it's not just Mary, but it's Mary and Joseph. So he was chosen to be an example of Christ. Here's the next statement. Joseph took a secondary role so Jesus could come forth. There was a lot that Mary had to do, but from a man's point of view, and because I'm a man, I can identify with Joseph through this, and I'm sure you ladies can identify with Mary and all the things that she had to bear. But I all these years, I've never really thought a lot about Joseph. Other than, you know, I know what was said, but as I was reading this, and my heart just went out to Joseph. I said, wow, what? When the Bible said he was a good man, he was a just man. That was part of the story, because you see, he was to be an example of Christ. He had the choice. Joseph could take the legal route and put her away and dismiss it and save himself all the problems. They might have said, yeah, you know, Joseph really got fooled there, but that wouldn't have fallen on his head. It would have fallen on Mary. But he is willing to embrace it and now be looked upon as being that husband who got fooled. That husband is so weak. That husband that's a sap. And why she really took him. And that whole situation is such that he could have taken the legal route and dismissed it, or he could take the sacrificial route. And that's the same choice that Jesus had on the cross. He could have withdrawn himself and let the legal process carry out. We've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, and the judgment of sin would have fallen on our own head. But Jesus didn't take the legal route, he took the sacrificial route. And he came and he gave himself for us. He took our sin. He bore our reproach. He who knew no sin took all of the shame and all of the reproach and all of the separation that caused from God. As he hung on the cross, said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God had not forsaken him, but in his heart and in his feelings, it was like God had forsaken him in that moment. He felt our sin. He bore it. He took our place and died in our place. And Joseph is a forerunner of this, even as the father, a natural father, not the true father, of course, but as the father that raised Jesus. I don't know, but Jesus was well aware of his natural father for 30 years. Heard what people said about his father. Maybe part of that was preparing Jesus himself for the ridicule he was going to bear. Of course, he was drawing on his heavenly father. But I think alongside of that was an example of his earthly father, who bore reproach, bore shame, loved his mother, gave himself for the family. Took all the blame, took all the hurt, took all the ridicule upon himself. We don't know because the Bible doesn't explore that. But I do believe that that Joseph had a real place in Jesus' development. I'm sure emotions went back and forth even after the angel said, you know what? It's all true. Joseph still had to face, am I going to go through with this? Am I going to do what God wants me to do? God's given me sort of an assignment here. Am I going to go with this, or am I going to give in to my fear? And I believe as we engage ourselves in God's plans for our life, we talked about that last week, the plans God has for you, you don't have to be fearful of them. But as you do engage yourself in God's plans for you, that your emotions are going to be up and down. Sometimes you're going to get up and you can handle it. I can handle this. You feel encouraged in the Lord. You bear it. And other times you're down and you're weaker and it really washes over you. And someone says something and you're ridiculed and you're put down and you don't like it. In those moments, we're tempted, as Joseph was at the beginning, to just put it away. But I'll do it quietly. I'll just say I serve God, but I'm not going to take a stand. I'll just sort of be a quiet Christian. If someone really probes me strongly, maybe I'll own up to it, but you know what? I don't like what other people say and what they're going to think about me, so I'll just be a quiet Christian and I'll put away those things that are culturally unpopular, so I'm thought well of as a Christian. Have you ever had that thought and that fear? Maybe it wasn't conscious enough in your mind, but it's just under your consciousness that causes you to be quiet when you should have spoken up, to say nothing when God wanted you to be an example and a witness, and fears coming in. I would say to you, just as the angel said to Joseph, fear not, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid what people think of you. That's Satan's ploy. He wants you to take the solution, be quiet, just put this aside quietly. You don't have to be vocal. You don't need to step up into this. I put this statement in your notes. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. The more you're looking at what people think about you, the less you'll think about what God thinks about you. And if you want to overcome the fear, you have to then take this next statement. Becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. It's who are you concerned about? Who do you want to please? And I'd say this, if you try to please people, you can't please everyone. But you can please God. You know, if you take the route of what people think, listen, you can't please everyone. I found that out as a pastor long ago. You can't please everyone. I mean, you try, and there's so many pastors. I don't know, I'm just linking on pastors. We're all this way. We're concerned what people think, and we tailor our message, and we're quiet in an area because we don't want to offend people. And so you satisfy these people, but then these people over here say, hey, that's not right. You can't please everyone. So you are always going to have people speak negative of you. They're going to speak negatively of you. And you just get on this like a dog chasing his tail. Around and around you go. And you think, oh, I'll please them, then I'll please them. Oh, I'll please them. And you'll never please everyone. So you might as well just decide, I'm going to live for an audience of one. I'm going to please God. My heart, every morning I get up, I'm going to please God. He has a plan for my life. His plan for my life can cause me to have ridicule. But you know what? God's got a great plan. Jesus is going to come forth. He's the Savior of the world. There's something of eternal significance in all of this. And so I'm not going to just fall back into just trying to please people or what the trend of the day or the philosophy of the day is, and it shifts. one generation to the next generation, back and forth it shifts, but God's word never shifts. God's word is true. It's constant. It's forever settled. He has a plan and purpose for you, and it's to be part of this unfolding plan of God. So, sometimes you just have to step up and be courageous, and rather than being quiet, just say what you stand for. Take an unpopular stand. And just stand for some things. Now, some things just came to my mind, and I'll just share them with you. You know, what's some unpopular stands? Things that you're going to get ridiculed for, and you're going to be looked down upon. Well, the first one is just sexual purity. I mean, I'm old enough to see the transition of society from a respectful embrace of sexual purity and morality and shifting so far that anything goes. And we get pulled. And you'll be ridiculed if you take a stand for righteousness and what the Word of God says. To believe that you should not have sex before marriage. Well, the world has just completely accepted that. You see it in every sitcom, every situation. Used to be, if people lived together before marriage, it was looked down upon in years gone by. Society has shifted and moved from that. But it doesn't mean God has moved from it. Marriage is to be, or sex is to be in a marriage. It's not freedom, just doing whatever you want and just saying, well, you're old fashioned. We're living in 2021. You know, all and the whispering and the talking. I can't imagine what it may be because it was bad when I went to school and was in university. I can't imagine young people today standing for righteousness and saying what they believe. Or are you like the temptation of Joseph, just be quiet about it, just be quiet. Just don't let anyone know, just put it aside quietly. Or are we willing to take a stand and say morality is morality? And dress, forms of dress today that is so immoral and yet now is acceptable. We have to come back and say, what does God's word say about this? And am I fearful to stand for what God's word say? Have I adjusted my thinking to accommodate the thinking of the world? Or do I come back and say, you know, the Bible teaches modesty. Is modesty a lost word now? Modesty is old-fashioned? Or is modesty just as true today as it was 100 years ago? No, I know standards can change. I'm not saying it's absolute. But there's still such a thing as modesty and morality. That we need to be able to not be afraid to take a stand for. Here's the next one. God's definition of marriage. Are we afraid to stand for traditional marriage? That marriage is between a man and a woman? That this is God's marriage? And anything else, you can call it marriage, but it's not marriage. You can call chalky water milk, but it doesn't make it milk. I mean, something could look like it, similar to it, but we have to say, what does God's word say about this? And we want to twist God's word and we want to change it around. Well, it doesn't really mean what it says. Obviously, that's what people thought for 2,000 years. But now, in the last 5 years, we've twisted God's word, said, no, that doesn't say that anymore. Listen, it does say it. I mean, I'm like anyone else. I'd like to shift my thinking on same-sex marriage, but I can't get away from God's word. So then I can either say, okay, I'm just going to be quiet about it. Or we say, you know what? God's word requires for me, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to hide what I believe God's word says. And I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to declare it in conversations I have with people, and you will be ridiculed for it and thought about as, oh, those people. Oh, you're one of those, are you? Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Yeah, and you're not with the times. You shifted. We need to realize, you know what? I'll stand for this. I'm not going to be afraid. Here's another one. Honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity. I'm just amazed how easy it is for people to lie. I try not to lie. I try to tell the truth. I'm sure there are times when I stretch the truth. I'm sure there's times when I choose my words to give an impression, telling the truth, but I'm leaving a false impression. But I'm convicted on those things, and I don't want to be that way. I want to tell people the truth. I don't want to lie. I want to be honest. I don't want to cheat people. Maybe you've been in a situation when you've been at work, and your boss has told you to say something, write something, take a stance, and you know it's not right. What do you do in that moment? Are you fearful? I'll lose my job. Well, I have to do what the boss says. Or do you stand for integrity and honesty and say, you know what? I don't do that. I serve a different person. I'm looking to what God thinks about me, not what man thinks about me. And I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to have integrity in my dealings. I'm not going to cheat people. I am so amazed how far this has moved in our society. You know why? It's because too many people are quiet. Not enough people are speaking up and talking about these things. Here's another one. Being an active part of a local church. You still go to church? You don't go every Sunday, do you? You give what to the church? What's a tithe again? Tell me what that is. Oh, you're foolish. You're part of a cult. You're getting sucked in. All of these voices come to you that want to make you fearful. What a sap. What a weakling. Joseph faced it. But Joseph was a good man. He was a just man. He wasn't afraid to take Mary to be his wife. Are you afraid to take the truths of God's word to yourself, to embrace them as your own, to live your life for Christ, to be what God wants you to be? And here's the last one. I mean, you could go on and on with this list, but here's the last one that came to me. Sharing Jesus as the only way of salvation. What? There's lots of good religions in the world. They're all sincere. Many ways to God. you guys are quite bigoted to think that Jesus is the only way. Well, I take that stance because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I take that stance because there is only one way to God. There's only one way to have your sins dealt with. And that's through what Jesus did on the cross so long ago. And we're celebrating the birth of a Savior who came to save his people from their sins. Yes, there is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed to proclaim that? Well, let's just take it a step further. Are you ashamed to witness for the Lord at your work, meeting a friend, a neighbor? Will you tell them about Jesus? Or are you afraid what they'll think about you? I don't want to embarrass myself. And here's the twist. I don't want to embarrass them. I'm going to put them on the spot. They're going to feel uncomfortable if I tell them about Jesus. The solution is just be quiet. Just put that matter aside. Doesn't mean you don't believe it yourself. You just need to be quiet about it. Satan's constantly whispering his solution to us, and it's shut up. Don't be a witness. Don't open your mouth. Don't confess Christ. Just enjoy your salvation, but let everyone else go their own way because I don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't want them to be embarrassed, as if saving someone from eternal death is something you should spare someone from. If a house was burning down and you saw the house and you saw the family through the window eating a nice dinner, you wouldn't say, you know, I don't think I want to go knock on the door because they're having a nice dinner. And I don't want them to wonder who this person is that's coming and knocking on the door and saying, there's a fire, you need to get out of the house. No, we'd realize, the danger is such, I need to tell them. And when they understand the danger, they will embrace it and embrace me and thank me. But so many times we see people in danger of eternal fire, but we don't want to say anything. We're embarrassed. I mean, I wonder from God's perspective as he looks at us. And he realizes he's sending message. I believe I'm a messenger to you today to say, you know what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. God is with you. Don't be afraid to embrace these things. Don't be afraid to stand for God. Don't be afraid to talk about these things to other people. Because there's something of eternal significance involved. And let me just share these final things. I put this in your notes. If you want to live a life where nobody criticizes you, you will do nothing for God. You'll be ineffective for God. Your life will count for nothing. If you want to please people, you won't be able to please God. If you don't want to have any criticism, well, then you won't do anything for the Lord. Jesus was persecuted. It says those that serve God will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't think you can be righteous and not be persecuted. But great is your reward in heaven when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. We need to realize I'm keeping my eyes on what God wants me to do. And here's the last statement. Anything of eternal significance will be met with spiritual resistance, demonic resistance. Anything that has spiritual significance. If it's a natural thing, you know, if the whole world is painting their walls a light gray, hey, it doesn't matter. Paint your walls a light gray. But when it's something of eternal significance, then you need to stand for what's right and not be afraid and realize, you know what? Anytime I stand for something that's significant, there's going to be flack. And if you're getting no flack in your life, then you need to ask yourself, am I standing for anything? Or am I just going with the world? I'm just flowing with the world. And never taking a stand about anything that has eternal significance. It's a challenge to us today, and I think this story of fear not is one we need to hear. Don't fear. Love God more than you love what people think about you. Love God. Put Him first. Would you stand with me this morning? Wonder if I could pray a prayer for us. My prayer is that we would align ourselves with the heart of God. I want to align myself with God's purposes. I want to be a witness for Him. I want to be bold. I want to put fear away from me. I'm not trying to go around to be obnoxious. And it doesn't mean that there's not appropriate ways to tell truth that guides it around the mental roadblocks of others. There's discretion. It doesn't mean you have to be so blatant that you shine light in someone's eyes and they react. No, shine the light at their feet. Let them see what's best. So it's not a matter I just go around just without regards to people's feelings. No, but you do stand for truth. You are saying this light, it's going to shine. I'm going to shine it in people's pathways. I'm going to shine it when they ask me about a decision that they're uncertain about. I will shine the light of God's word. I'll shine the light of God's truth. I will not be afraid. And I just feel like God wants us to set ourselves, that we're obsessed with God's purpose and His kingdom and what He wants to accomplish on earth. If you feel that way this morning, would you just allow me to pray for you and for me? Lord, we've heard your word this morning. I'm so thankful that Joseph so long ago pushed off his fear, took a secondary role, was ridiculed and mocked and thought of as less, but Christ came forth. I pray, Lord, that we would take that same stance today. We'd be more concerned about what you think than what people think. Remove all fear from us this morning, Lord. May fear fall off of us. And may we just be bold and proclaim the good news of Jesus and what this season is all about and why we live the way we live. That we are witnesses, we shine like a bright light in this world, that we're salt and light to those around us. May it be so, Lord. May we not lose our savor, but may we be effective in this world. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let it be, Lord, this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been good. Think about these things. Hope that if you haven't been